Neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland, New York, New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Papa Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
DVC Voice. Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 176, the first episode of 2026. It's February. We actually haven't had an episode in almost 2 months, but really hasn't been that much news.
There hasn't been. All the stories here, we only got five stories, are everything that came out since whenever we last recorded in mid-December. So, I mean, obviously the holidays usually don't get much, but even January's just been very slow.
January is very slow. News. And then we had a lot of big news this week.
We did.
We'll get to that in a second. So, but before we do, well, first of all, I have Pete with me. So I forgot to introduce you. Yes.
Hello.
But give a shout out to our sponsor, which is DVC Resale Market. So if you are looking to purchase a DVC contract and you want to consider resale, or maybe you want to sell your contract for whatever reason, you know, kids are in college, or you want to sell one contract to buy a new one, definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. They can help you out with all of your resale needs. And then also, if you're just kind of browsing or getting into it, they also have a really great section on their website called like DVC Resale 101. And it really is kind of explained to you what points mean and what a use year is and all of that stuff. So definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. They can help you out with all of your DVC resale needs. And before we get into our news story, because we didn't even put this in a news story because it doesn't even need its own story.
Right.
It's just that Josh D'Amaro has been named as the new CEO.
I know. It felt like it was going to happen and kind of almost too good to be true.
Right. It was like, okay, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. I never thought he would be named CEO. I wanted him to be named CEO.
Yeah.
Have you ever met him?
I have not. I've been in the parks when he was walking around and almost did, but no, I have not. You did
so
once, right?
I did, yes. We met him in March 2021, and we were in the Epcot experience. Remember the Epcot experience? Ryder loved it. So he was there, and he was just there, and he was by himself, very low key. And I looked over, and of course, we had literally just driven up. It's raining. Mm-hmm. My hair is frizzy. I have no makeup on. We were still wearing masks at that point, but saw him and he could not have been nicer and took a nice socially distanced picture, but he couldn't have been nicer. And nobody had noticed him, which was all the other videos that I see where people notice him, but he couldn't have been nicer. But he was really trying to get a feel for what was there in the park, which I thought was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited that he is going to be the CEO. It's going to be interesting. And then I know Dana Walden is something else. She's like the creative president or something. I don't get into the nitty gritty.
She's more, because like he's a parks person. She's a media person. So I think it's probably a good setup because he does not have really experience with, I mean, the parks obviously are a huge part of Disney, the corporation, but you still have, you know, Disney Plus and you have all the media centers, you have ESPN and everything like that. So I think they're almost, I don't want to say they're co-heads. I mean, he has the CEO title, but she has a new title that was created for her because I think he doesn't have that experience with the media side. You know, hopefully it works well. The one thing about him, the other podcast I do, Plus Platoon, which talks about Disney Plus, we have a former cast member on there, and she talked about that, like, the cast members all love him. And she used the example that, like, after the whole COVID shutdown and everything like that, like, he was in the parks talking to the cast members and listening to them vent. And, you know, Bob Chapek was hiding in his, you know, basically wouldn't come near anybody, right? He was not the type to talk to people, but
he was a numbers guy.
Yeah. But Josh was like in the parks and consoling people and, you know, saying, we're going to try to get you back as quick as we can and everything like that. And he's very well respected by the cast members, which to me says a lot.
Absolutely. I'm very, very hopeful. I think it's a great, I think it honestly, I mean, I guess it could get worse, but
yeah.
I think it's going to be a good thing. So I'm very, very hopeful. I think the news with Parks fans was very well received. I think everybody was very excited.
Yeah. And the stock didn't immediately drop, so at least the market didn't think it was bad.
Right. We're all very excited. Now, you just had a trip, and we'll talk about that at the end. And then I am going next week because I'm going to Moonlight Magic.
Yay.
So I haven't been to a Moonlight Magic in a while. Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. Right? So I will talk about that at the end. Yeah, Epcot. Okay. So if anybody is going to the February 12th, and my son doesn't know yet. So, but if anybody goes to the February 12th Moonlight Magic and you see us there and you recognize us, please say hi. I've had people message me and say, oh, I saw you, but I didn't want to bother you. You can bother us. Ryder loves it when we get recognized. Yeah. If you recognize us, please definitely say hi. Love to meet to some of our listeners, definitely at Moonlight Magic. So let's go ahead and get into our stories. And we'll talk about our first one, which is the afternoon tea is returning to Grand Floridian. So on March 19th, the Garden View Lounge Tea Experience will be returning to the Grand Floridian restaurant. The tea service is one of the last remaining amenities that never returned from the COVID pandemic. The event will include a large selection of teas as well as specialty bites. We have all the menu items on our show notes, so just take a look, but I'm sure you've seen them if you're interested. Now, the price, it's not cheap. It's not, no. I mean, it's Disney prices. Yeah. It's not crazy expensive, but pricing is $79 per adult and $49 per child, 3 to 9. And then reservations are scheduled to open on February 19th for dates starting March 19th and forward. One thing this just reminded me of is that Ryder is now a Disney adult because Ryder just turned 10. Oh, so not that it usually affects us because it really, this isn't something, but you know, that is that it hurts when you're doing like these, these like meals and these types of events. But
yeah, that's the one place you still get a discount because like park tickets are like $5 less for a child.
Yeah, it's nothing.
So it's not even, it makes a big difference, but yeah, some of these buffet and dining events, it does make a big difference.
Now, did you ever go to this before with your, because you're a girl dad.
Yeah, I am, but she's not particularly a girly girl, so she was never interested in like tea. I mean, she did like the princess meals, but yeah, this was not something that she was particularly interested in nor my wife, so we never did this. Did you ever do it at any point?
No. And it's not something that Ryder would have done.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
But it is supposed,
I mean, it's good.
It is supposed to be a lot of fun. Grand Floridian's beautiful place. I'm glad to see it's back though.
Yeah. You know? And I think, you know, 1900 Park Fair was like the last restaurant to reopen and to have this. And now the renovations, I mean, I love the renovations. I know it's a mixed bag. Some people love it. Some people don't. Mm-hmm. I think it looks great. And this is just something else that you can do that you don't have to go into the parks. And next week when we go, we're just going to Moonlight Magic. We're not doing anything else. We're actually staying at our home resort, which is the first time we stayed there since the 50th. You can do these types of things without having to go into the park. Right. And that's the beauty of being DVC is that you have these types of things. So it's just another option, especially if you have a little girl. And is it has characters?
I don't believe so. It's themed to Alice in Wonderland, but nothing I read said that there were going to be any character meets involved with it. It's just kind of,
I mean, the price seems too low to do have characters.
Light Alice in Wonderland theming, so.
Yeah. But, you know, and then Grand Floridian has that photo pass stop on the second floor with the Cinderella's glass slipper.
Right.
So you can definitely make a little event of it. I think that's great. Sure. I'll definitely tell my niece. She's got a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And this is something like totally up their alley. So I think that she would something that she would love. Okay. Well, let's head over to the West Coast.
So next story, interesting announcement out of Disneyland is that they're going to reset the Star Wars timeline in Star Wars Land. So on January 14th, Disneyland announced that they were adjusting the timeline on their version of Star Wars Land. The forested area around the Rise of Resistance ride will remain in the First Order versus Resistance timeline of the most recent episodes 7 through 9, and Rey will continue to meet guests in this area, but the town area of Batuu will now revert to a more classic Star Wars area with characters such as Leia Organa, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Darth Vader, and R2-D2 all in the area. Ahsoka Tano and the Mandalorian will also continue to meet in the market area, which is kind of in between the two as well. Mm-hmm. And then as part of this, Oga's Cantina has actually closed for a light retheming, and it is scheduled to open for this conversion, which is scheduled to take place beginning April 29th, 2026. It should be pointed out that the Florida land is going to remain unchanged, as this is only planned for Disneyland in California. So you have to go out to the West Coast if you want to meet Han and Luke and Leia.
Yeah, I wonder if this is one, a way to get more people over to Disneyland, or if this is a test to see how it's received.
So one of the big differences between Florida and California is that California to me has a lot more like roaming characters just in general. So I definitely think this is a kind of a reset for out there to allow for more character, more variety of characters. Like, okay, we're still going to have Rey from the new movies, but we're going to bring back those classic characters, have Darth Vader in there, and they can still have the stormtroopers and everything. But I do think it's a test to see if this is something that would work, you know, if it'll be more popular.
Right.
I just don't know if that's the case. We'll see.
I mean, I think that was the big mistake with the land at the beginning.
I think so. I don't know why they never, like, the whole idea, I mean, we talked about this early on, to theme it to a an area that's not in the stories never, to me, made sense. Because the thing that works so well of Cars Land is that you walk in there and, you know, if you don't know the movie, it's fine. But if you know the movie, it's like, oh, this is the movie. And then you go to Star Wars Land and you're like, yeah, I guess it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, except for seeing the Falcon, which is like, oh, it's the Falcon. You know, but the rest of it, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm in Star Wars, but I don't recognize this place. I don't really understand why they did that, why they didn't do like, oh, let's do Tatooine. Like, everybody's been on Tatooine. It's in every series. You know, it's in the show all the time. So I don't know why they just didn't do that, but. To your point, we'll see if like this is popular enough that maybe it'll move to Florida as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so, because I don't know. We don't have any plans to go out to California anytime soon. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And then we'll have to get some reports. I guess Gina will have to get some reports from her when this gets implemented back in, you know, April, May.
She'll be in there pretty early on.
She probably will be there April 29th. Yeah. Okay. The DVC Valentine's Day event moves to the Contemporary Resort. So until recently, the holiday meet and treat events organized by DVC have been held at the Atlantic Dance Hall. The recent Halloween event was moved to the Boardwalk Convention Center. And now word has come that the Valentine's Day event will be moving again to the Fantasia Ballroom at Disney's Contemporary Resort. So the events are planned from 11 to 1, and actually the first two already happened. So that was February 2nd and 3rd, and the next two are going to be on Monday and Tuesday, February 9th and 10th. Now you have to be qualified for membership extras and have a reservation at a Disney-owned and operated resort. Each member may bring up to 4 guests or the number of individuals listed on their reservation. I haven't heard. Honestly, I have been kind of out of it as far as DVC news recently. So I didn't even see this. I didn't even know this was happening. So I haven't seen any pictures. Do we know of anybody that attended Monday or Tuesday?
I typed this up, but it didn't register with me that the first 2 days had already happened.
Days were gone, yeah.
So yeah, no, I have not seen anything about the event. I know in past they had like couples, like they had Mulan and Chang, I think is, what's the male character in Mulan, and then I forgot who else they had. Yeah. You went to one of these, right, for Valentine's?
Yeah, we went to the Frozen one for the summer, Welcome Home Days.
And that was at the Contemporary.
It was at the Contemporary, and it was in the Fantasia Ballroom.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It was much better than the meet and treat, because the meet and treat, now I went to the first one, the first one ever, and we waited outside for a good hour and a half before we were able get inside. It was, they've since improved it, but the one for the one we did at the Contemporary was very, like, I mean, we walked right in.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like, we literally just walked right in.
Well, also, didn't they not let you park?
Yes, they didn't let you park. So that's another thing. So if you're going to this, obviously, Ray dropped us off.
Right.
And like they were like watching him like a hawk. They're like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, look, I'll leave my license with you. I'm dropping them off.
Right.
I don't need to see Olaf. Yeah, but you either have to take an Uber or you have to take. So it was harder to get to.
Yeah.
And I think that also makes a difference. Whereas the boardwalk's a little bit easier to get to. Mm-hmm. You just go to Magic Kingdom, but
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to go Magic Kingdom. You got to walk over, or you got to take.
Yeah.
I guess you could like go to a different park and take a bus to the Contemporary. But you're right, it's not as easy as just. Though the boardwalk wasn't super easy to get to either.
But I'll tell you, like that's what I thought. I was like, because we were actually staying at. I think we were staying at Beach Club that trip, and all of a sudden, like, I was like, oh, this is perfect. We'll walk right over. And then we saw this line that was an hour and a half long. I was like, oh, crap. Yeah. And I think anything like this, like, I'm sad I missed it because we're getting there on Thursday. Mm. But it's just great that they have these types of events and also that you don't need to get into a virtual queue for.
Yeah, we did the Halloween one, and we did get right in. You had to wait in line for the different characters in there. And I do have to say at the boardwalk where they did it at the Boardwalk Convention Center, it was not a huge area, so it was very kind of tightly packed with the three meet areas.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the lines kind of like almost crossed and things like that. So it was a little bit, because they also had a DJ and they had music going, so there's a place to dance too, but there just wasn't a lot of space. So maybe that's why they moved it.
Again, you know, free stuff is good stuff. If you do attend, and you attended the one earlier, or you're attending the ones on Monday and Tuesday, you know, definitely report back in our MyDVC Points community. Love to see pictures. Tell us how it was. Did you think it was worth going?
Yeah.
You know, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, I always like to hear what the characters are, because it's usually at least one set of characters is like something you don't usually see. All right. Our next news story is a bunch of little news stories. A couple of minor announcements that came out in the last couple of weeks. One being just this past week, Harambe Marketplace in Animal Kingdom reopened for service as of February 5th. The new menu, as expected, focuses heavily on hamburgers and chicken nuggets to make up for the closure of Restaurantosaurus. We weren't there for the closing day of Dinosaur, but we were there about 4 days beforehand. And did you know they have an outdoor queue for Dinosaur?
Yes.
I'd never been in the outdoor queue until now.
I had been in the outdoor queue, but years ago. Yeah.
So, yeah, they like wound us out into the woods, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then Rafiki's Planet Watch will actually be closing on, and so that's a park that already has the whole dinosaur land closed, and now they're closing Rafiki's Planet Watch on February 23rd to prepare the area for the new Bluey experience coming this summer. And I think getting Bluey into that park is a great idea for them, because it very thin right now over there.
Well, just basically, if you have a toddler,
right,
just don't go to that park until the summer.
Right.
Like, there's no, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
There's nothing for, I mean, except for the Zootopia thing.
Right.
There's very few things that you have to do with a little kid, which is fine. Like, they're making some changes and stuff, and it's stuff that needed to happen. But, you know, again, this is the time of year where kids are in school and stuff. But yeah, if you're going to skip a park and you have a toddler, this is the park to skip.
Yeah. Until Bluey, and then.
Bluey, forget
that
it.
That line for that train is going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be the saving grace, because a lot of people will want to see Bluey, but maybe it's like, I don't want to have to go to the train and go all of that.
Right.
But they'll do it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Bluey's popular.
Oh, yeah. But they can use that train as kind of population control out there to keep it from getting too crowded. Sure. And then also Napa Rose at Grand Californian is reopening to guests. And as we're recording this tomorrow, February 6th. That has been closed for 9 months. I didn't even realize it was that long.
Me either.
But they completely redid that. I've never eaten there, and historically it is known as a very good dining location. So it's next time I'm out there, we're getting in there. We're going to do that. DVC Lounge in Magic Kingdom, McKim's Mile House, is expanding hours of operation by 2 hours, and it will now be open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. It was closing at 6, and it's opening till 8. I think that's great for sure, that they should expand it, and they're not making you become a Beyond member to for that extra time. And then also, we're having some closures over at the Yacht Club. The Crew Cup Lounge in Disney's Yacht Club will be closing for refurbishment on February 23rd. and is expected to be closed through May. When it reopens, Yachtsman Steakhouse will be shutting down for several months and is expected to reopen in August of 2026. So if you're going this summer and you're staying at Beach Club or even Boardwalk, no Yachtsman at the Yacht Club. And then finally, Disney has announced the lineup for the Garden Rocks concerts for Flower and Garden at Epcot. The series is running March 5th to June 1st. Many returning favorites include 98 Degrees, Rick Springfield, and Sugar Ray. Check out the Disney Parks blog. They list all of those bands that are going to that. And it's always a good time going to any of those concerts at Epcot for sure.
Have you ever done any of them?
I'm not sure if we've done a Flower and Garden. We've definitely done the Eat to the Beats. We were just down there for Festival of the Arts, so we did one of those. I love the Broadway show thing that they do for Festival of the Arts. So I'm not sure if we've ever gone to a concert at Flower and Garden. We've been to Flower and Garden, but I don't know. It's always fun. And, you know, if it's someone you really want to see, what's nice is they have these dining packages. We just did it for that. And we did Spice Road Table, which I think was around $60. But you got an alcoholic drink and you got like a appetizer to share. Then you got two choices off the menu, the small plates menu, and then also dessert. And quite honestly, like you're probably spending $5 more than what you would pay for all those things on the menu. To me, it's if there's someone you really want to see, look at the different dining packages and pick one that appeals to you. And you're not really paying a lot of extra with that. It's sometimes it's a limited menu would be the only negative thing I would say is sometimes for the dining package. I know at Chef de France, they kind of have a prefix menu that you got to choose from certain things.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad deal if you want that reserved seating. It gives you we were actually in the front row for the performers that we saw. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. No, there's definitely some good ones. And I mean, it's fun. I'm not a big concert person anyway, but and I've usually like if it's somebody I've, you know, usually it's like I'm walking by and we'll listen and we'll watch like one or two songs.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things you like if it's the Beach Boys. Remember, I don't know if you saw that video. Like, I think it was Food and Wine. Like, though, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Like beyond crazy. But other than that, usually you can just pass by and see them for a little bit,
yep.
You know, unless you're a big fan and you know, then definitely do it. Then we have DVC 2027 member cruise has been announced. So from April 7th to the 14th, 2027, the Disney Wonder will sail along the West Coast for the year's member-only cruise. Booking takes place via DVC member services on Saturday, February 28th, 2026. It's going to be departing out of San Diego. The itinerary features stops at Catalina Island, an overnight stay in San Francisco, and a visit to Ensenada, Mexico, along with 2 days at sea. These member-only cruises feature a variety of special guests and unique entertainment. DVC owners also receive daily stateroom gifts created just for the voyage. You've never done one, right?
No, the problem is you have to have, first of all, you have to have the eligible points, right?
Right, because it has to be direct points to you, and you have to book one cabin,
yeah,
right?
And even I have my points, my resale points give me member privileges because I bought them in 2016.
Right.
But even then, those points didn't count for cruises. So I only have 50 points that I could use, which isn't enough to get me like a broom closet.
Well, I have 25, yeah. So.
Right. So neither of us are going. We can't even pool our points, Shannon, and go on one of these. Mm-hmm. But if you have enough direct points, you only need to book one person with DVC points to get these cruises. Usually you have to buy, you have to be able to book one person with your DVC points. After that, you can use cash for the remaining people. So, but you have to have enough points for at least one individual. One thing they say is it sells out very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. I've had to call member services on that day and it's extremely hard to get through. Probably sells out in, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours. And they always recommend have a couple different cabins types in mind because your first choice might be sold out. If you're interested in this, you can go again to the DVC website and it'll have more details of with the itinerary and the points chart and everything like that. So, but these are always a good time from what I hear for sure. It's all members. So that always makes it good, right?
Yeah. It sounds like it's a great time and it's really, I mean, it sounds, everybody that goes as it's awesome. I'm not going to have enough points, and I'm probably never going to have enough direct points to do it. So it's just one of those things that I don't even look at it. I don't even consider it, because it's just something that's not going to be on the But with that, as I have mentioned, I am a travel agent now, and Disney Cruise Line has an amazing offer. So if you are considering a cruise between April and July, they are offering 20% off sailings off of the Disney Wish, plus a $250 onboard credit.
Wow.
Which, if you know, with Disney Cruise Line, they stopped doing onboard credits a couple years ago, and they got rid of them. So this is pretty crazy. I actually booked a client. I had a hold for her. They released this offer and saved her about almost $1,000 and got a $250 credit. So they're doing it for the Wish and then the Dream only for the month of April. But so if you're interested, if you have a travel agent, obviously, you know, contact them, or you can always contact me. But just wanted to throw that out there, because that is something that you just don't hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about your trip, because you just came back.
Yeah. So just a couple of quick comments. It was very cold there. But the one comment I wanted to make, we had talked about this in one of our December shows, that now at the Top of the World Lounge, you have the villains, I forget what they call it, the sit down, where you get like a drink and a snack or whatever and a dessert. And it's like $55. And then they now have basically, they call it complimentary fireworks reservation or something like that. We did that. We booked that. And we went up there, and it was last Saturday, and it was very, very cold. And we got up there about an hour before the fireworks or something like that. And we get up there and they're like, oh, yeah, no, that doesn't give you lounge access. That just gives you access to come up here and watch the fireworks. And I'm like, why am I making a reservation for this then? Because like, I can walk up and go up and watch the fireworks. So just something to be aware of, that even though they have that reservation that you can make now, like I thought, okay, yeah, I might not get a table or something like that, but I'd at least be able to be in the lounge and get a snack or something like that. And nope, that if the whole lounge was booked for the, I think they call it Wicked Wind Down, right?
Uh-huh.
Whole lounge was booked for that. If you had the complimentary fireworks booking, all they got you was standing out on that patio, and it was literally freezing. It was like 35 degrees and windy, and we were not standing there waiting for the fireworks. We actually were like, oh, what are we going to do? And we ended up going to Flying Fish for dinner. Uh-huh. We had a change of plans. We didn't see the fireworks. We went and had a good meal at Flying Fish. And so we were sitting in on the boardwalk when the fireworks were going off.
Yeah, not. I haven't been to Flying Fish in a long time, so it's a really great place.
Excellent.
Yeah,
and one of the people I was with had the steak, which you don't think, you know, oh, I'm going to go to Flying Fish and have the steak. It's fantastic. It's really good. It was fantastic. So everything there is good. The other thing I did want to mention is that, you know, we've been owners in Animal Kingdom for since 2014, so 12 years now, and we finally got to stay club level. And boy, is that nice. And the rooms are the same. It's not like you get anything special in the room, though they did make the bed every day, or they did come in and clean every day. That was a slight different. But it was the same rooms, but you're up on the sixth floor. We actually had one of the Savannah View rooms, but it's interesting. It's kind of got like the roof is hanging over, so you can't. Mm-hmm. It's like really bad Savannah View.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're not paying for that. What you're doing is paying for the club, which is they have breakfast. Well, they have coffee in the morning, and then from like 7:30 to 10, they have breakfast. Then from, I think, 11 to 4, they have what they call snacks. So it's like crackers and veggies and things like that. From 5 to 7, they have, they call appetizers, but they're, it's enough food to have for dinner. We had dinner there two of the nights. And then from 8 to 10, they put out desserts and then like cordials. And with dinner, they have wine, beer, sangria. And if you want a glass of wine or a beer anytime during the day, you ask for it, they'll bring it out to you. It is. Mm. And then if you want a Mickey bar anytime during the day, they'll bring it out to you. It was for someone that wants to eat.
Yeah,
it is definitely kind of a treat. Food was all very good. A lot of the stuff that they served was like what you would get at like Boma.
Okay.
it was all very good. That one morning they had like a butterscotch bread pudding that I know you can't eat that, Shannon, but it was really good. But they had, you know, they had like cheeses, they had eggs, they had all kinds of different things. So it was a lot of fun to do that. We did it only for two nights because it's a lot of points. And then they just shifted the charts. So in 2027, it's even more points. If you are an owner there, you know, if you haven't done it before, I definitely recommend trying it. Try to arrange your park days so you're spending a lot of time at the resort. It was a lot of fun.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if you're doing, unless you just have points to splurge or money to spend, if you're doing a lot of park days open to close, concierge is not going to be worth it. But if you're not, then yeah, I just know that if I ever did concierge, I don't think I could go back. So
I know.
Yeah, it's like
it'll be tough.
It's like going from a one bedroom to back to a studio. It's hard. I can do it, but it's still hard.
But it was a lot of points because January is pretty low season, and it was still 40 points a night for it was a one bedroom, but it was still 40 points a night for one bedroom, which is for January a lot of points at Animal Kingdom. And then we actually switched. We had four nights in a value one bedroom, and that was 20 points a night. So to give you an idea, the difference, it was almost double to do concierge versus the value rooms.
That's crazy.
Which is
now how comfortable are the one bedroom values?
Oh, they were fine. When you go from one to the other, you can tell the difference. The rooms are a little narrower and I think a little shorter also. Mm-hmm. For one thing, the kitchen in the full size rooms has a like an island kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the value, they don't have the island. So there's less counter space in the kitchen. The furniture in the bedroom was a little closer together, but it was still the same furniture. I think the bathroom was the same size. I think they shrunk the bedroom a little bit and then they shrunk the kitchen a little bit. I mean, it was noticeable, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't stay in this now.
Right.
So it's
not like you went to a one bedroom to a value studio.
Right. Exactly. That would have been a downgrade. Yeah. So that's all I wanted to talk
but
about.
That sounds like a
DVC
good
related. Yeah.
No, but it sounds like it was a great trip. And you brought the cold weather from New York, right?
Somebody brought it. Yeah, I don't know if it was me, but when we left on Sunday, it was 25 degrees when we were driving to the airport. I'm like, what is this?
My niece went with her family on Monday. They live in Ocala, so they're about an hour and a half. And I help her with her fast passes or lightning lanes, whatever. She gives me her account and I try and get better times while they're in the park. She was sending me pictures of things frozen and it was pretty funny.
It was like, even coming from the north, like, you know, and like we're used to that temperature, but it's like when we go down there and it's like 60 and everybody's like, it's so cold. And I'm always like, this is great, you know, but it was legitimately really cold.
No, it was so many pictures of things frozen, like
the fountains and like the tiki statues that spray the water at the Adventureland. I saw pictures of that with icicles hanging from them and everything.
It's just not built. She was saying like there were a lot of rides going down on Monday, and I'm like, I'm telling you, the rides are not like prepared. Like, there's certain things that it's just not used to running in that type of temperature. Things are gonna
when you get that low temperature, a lot of the oils that they use for lubrication within systems aren't able to do their jobs because the oil gets thicker when it gets colder. I mean, we have the same problem here in Buffalo, but it's usually like when it gets down to like zero or something, pretty cold, but it's the same. It's the same thing. You know, I mean, it's just, they're designed for warm weather, and when it gets that cold, never get like that like people we were talking to like 7 years ago was the last time I remember it being this cold.
It was 31 in South Florida. Yeah, like we had, and you know that you've sure you've heard about the frozen iguanas are dropping out of trees. If you go on my Instagram, there was a baby iguana that he didn't fall, but he was stuck on the fence because he like froze on the fence. So I actually got him, and I feed a stray cat. And I bought a little house for him that he refuses to get inside because I got it for him for the cold weather, but the cat doesn't care.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, you know what? Let's put the baby iguana in there. So we put the baby iguana there. He was there for he was there to the next morning. And then when it warmed up, he left. Yeah. I was like, well, let's put this cat house to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can only imagine how cold it was at Disney World. So, yeah. Well, glad you had a great time. You did some great pics of food and stuff on your Instagram. Definitely. What's your Instagram again?
SkierPete23, I believe. Might just be Skier Pete. Check out Skier Pete.
Yeah. So you had some good pictures. I felt like I was there. I haven't gone to Festival of the Arts in a while, so it was fun to see your pictures.
Yeah, it was a good time. I didn't even post a lot. I still got more to post.
Yeah, you know, you can kind of just keep posting and feel like you're still there.
Yeah,
but
right.
Yeah, I live vicariously through you sometimes. That's it. So again, if anybody's going to Moonlight Magic, definitely, you know, say hi. If you see us around, we'll be there next weekend. We'll probably hopefully come back with more consistent stories. I think news stories, now that we're in February, things are starting to pick up. Hopefully stories will start to kind of trickle. But we'll probably come. I think we're going to probably do like every 2 weeks is kind of the momentum.
That's
we usually
we try
do
to
is
do.
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It really depends on the news. But yeah, as long as we have some news, we try to do every 2 weeks. So yeah,
hopefully you'll. Hopefully next. Yeah, in 2 weeks. Yep. And then I'll be able to report back on Moonlight Magic. So
great.
So with that, want to give a shout out to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. And with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.